Holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I walk 47 miles of barbed wire. I got a cobra snake for a necktie. A brand new house along the roadside, and it's made out of rattlesnake hide.
Now, speaking of the Higher Learning Commission, by the way, since our last meeting, the U.S. Department of Education has approved UWF to begin the process of moving to the Higher Learning Commission. So our program review process has been revised to provide departments and with a template that now includes such items as workforce and job outlook data for program graduates, trend analysis for enrollment and awarding of degrees, a comprehensive review of curriculum and program of study, and an action plan for implementation of recommendations. So we created this template so departments have a clear understanding of what is required for a UWF program review.
This is the Board of Trustees meeting at UWF, which, of course, I've been talking about all morning. If you're just tuning in, it's your first pass. We had a really good conversation last hour about the new code of conduct and the protection of free expression on campus. You can go back and listen to the podcast either on the app, News Radio Pensacola, or at the podcast page at newsradio923.com. In the first hour, we talked about, and 5 o'clock, we talked about the three big capital projects that they're undertaking. The Synapse is a science and engineering project, $39 million, most of the money coming from the state and from Triumph because it's going to create jobs. The satellite utility plant that's going to make basically more hot and cold air on campus so that they can, you know, have a second instead of the primary facility. That's a $20 million project, mostly funded by the state. And then the football stadium, of course, which they're doing, which is a $45 million project, and that is being funded largely by fundraising and by, you know, basically a loan that the university is taking out and, you know, a little bit of money from the tourism development tax. And those three projects are all scheduled to start in January or at least in the spring of 2026. The football stadium will be built around the field as play goes on. It will be ready fall of 2027 and is the plan. And, you know, it will not interrupt any of the in-between games or the practices because they're building it literally around the field, which will continue to be in use over that time. But like I said, that's all, you know, just stuff we talked about earlier in the show. As for this concept, this is Dr. Snyder. I did not catch first name, and I wasn't sure that when I looked up for a Snyder at the staff that I found the right person, but they said it was Dr. Snyder, explaining that they're going through this process of reviewing all the majors and, you know, the programs of study, and reviewing them to make sure that a variety of things are true, you know, that they're doing best practices, that they're teaching the right stuff, that, you know, all of that, but also that there's a good job outlook so that when people go through these fields of study, they have a reasonable expectation that they're going to, you know, get a degree. Because one of the problems that you have is that, you know, sometimes you make a whole bunch of a degree that nobody wants to buy. You know, like a philosopher, speaking as a guy with 2 degrees in philosophy, undergrad poli-sci philosophy, and then a master's in philosophy. And Ed Fleming, you know, one of the newer members of the board and a great local citizen lawyer and an excellent contribution to both boards. I have raised the objection that I think it's weird that anybody would be on both boards. That is unusual. No matter how high an opinion I have of Ed, and I do have a very high opinion of him, I think it's weird to have somebody on both boards. Of course, we have had Zach Smith on both boards, which I thought was problematic to begin with, and I have grave concerns about Zach Smith. I don't have those concerns about Ed, but I do think it's weird to have somebody on both boards. Anyway, Ed raises an interesting observation about the manufacturing of degrees and of people in the degree holding or whatever it is that they learn when they're in school.
I have just a comment and an encouragement. I'm glad to see that this type of analysis is being done. And, you know, the one of the things I learned when I spent 4 years in Germany is that the German government makes a real close study as to what the demands are going to be for a particular degree. And they limit the numbers of people they accept for that degree based on those projections. When I graduated from undergraduate school with a degree in journalism, there were 30,000 graduates in journalism for an estimated 3,000 jobs. That doesn't really make a lot of sense in terms of spending public tax dollars. You know, if for a private school, if you want a degree that you know it's not going to get you a job, so what? But for public funds, I'd love to see a good bang for the buck and not students graduate with big student debts and no jobs available. So I'm really glad this type of analysis is being done, and I would encourage it to be done aggressively.
Yeah, and you know, there's always this long-running debate about higher education, where is the purpose of higher education to manufacture a people widget, you know, a person with a set of skills that'll serve a purpose in the economy? Or is the purpose of higher education to make a better person? And that's been traditionally the argument for the liberal arts, is that we're making better people. We're making people who can think and write and create art and digest poetry and people who understand history and culture and, you know, better people, more human humans. That's been the argument for the liberal arts. And I agree with that. I very much agree with that. But there's also the question of, well, if we're a higher education institution being invested in with public taxpayer money, to what degree is building better humans a justifiable taxpayer expense? And it is, as long as that's what you're actually doing, instead of just building, you know, more woke liberals. Sorry, folks, but, you know, at higher education, that's often what is produced through the liberal arts. I know, as a liberal arts major. And you know, too. I don't think anybody would dispute that. But also, if we're producing engineers, you know, and you know, biologists and chemists and mathematicians, and now we're producing, you know, nurses, we're producing people with, you know, skills that work in the economy, we're making job holders or entrepreneurs out of them. Well, that should show in the data. And he's saying, look, we ought to have at least some awareness of that, and he's glad to see the university is doing more of that. And I am too. You know, what's your likely expectation of pay? What's your employment rate? How, you know, all of those things are important considerations when you're going to go spend either the public money or your own money or both, and a lot of time acquiring a certification for something that, well, you know, look, AI might render it completely irrelevant in 4 years. Is not an unfair question to ask. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Well, US 98 running heavy between Fairpoint Drive and Shoreline in Gulf Breeze. There's also a vehicle crash Community Drive at Ferris in Pensacola. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. And, you know, the part of the issue with having the state university system provide the funds for an education and then deciding, well, how many nurses do we need? Or, you know, how many respiratory therapists do we need? Or, you know, how many chemists do we need? Or, you know, how many journalists do we need? Part of that chafes a little bit because the individual wants what the individual wants. But you're going to have, you know, enrollment limits by degree, I would think. It's fairly normal thing. Certainly you want to plan around that. But there's something kind of unpleasant for a free market capitalist, you know, republic like ours to have the idea of state planning for jobs. It does start to sound, you know, a little bit like national socialism or state socialism, but yet it's not an unfair question to ask and at least look at the data so that you can tell people, hey, I know your passion is for, you know, such and such a major. But, you know, reality is you can make a lot more money in cyber. Have you considered maybe doing that instead of, you know, being a YouTube influencer or software, you know, engineering or, you know, whatever that may not be all that profitable anymore? Adam Kissel.
Thank you, Trustee Fleming. My opinions are the same as yours on this matter. Workforce needs, there's an aspect of central planning that's unavoidable since we're in a public system. But given that it's taxpayer money, we've got to look at the likely future outcomes for the students.
Yeah, and at least present that information to them. Just think about here in Escambia County. We've got, you know, SD Engineering, and they need workers, and they haven't been able to get as much of them as they wanted. So we look at how can we, you know, produce people who have the skills that will get them hired on these good-paying jobs there or elsewhere in the economy that we're trying to build. Lonzie Scott.
Hey, Trustee Kissel and Trustee Fleming. Hey, I don't disagree with any of your perspectives, but there's another side to getting public degrees. It may not necessarily be about getting a job. They can also become entrepreneurs. And that's another avenue that drives our economy in a very different way. So even if there aren't a whole lot of jobs, there are people who are creating this new gig economy with all kinds of skill sets. So I wouldn't want to limit our people just because there aren't, quote, jobs available.
Yeah, I mean, you might make the argument that, well, there are not that many journalism jobs at all, let alone good paying ones. But gosh, if you got a degree in journalism and then you decided to go become some kind of independent journalist, a blogger, a YouTuber, influencer, and at least you had journalism training, it might make you a better one, a more socially beneficial one, instead of just the ordinary person who doesn't have any of that kind of training, then they decide, hey, I can be popular on YouTube. Oh, crap. Or TikTok, God forbid. Anyway, so these are all fair concerns. Adam Kissel.
Thank you, Trustee Scott. Point very well taken. The analysis of the job situation should not just limit itself to the codes and BLS because of all the different kinds of jobs that people with our different degrees can get or make even for themselves as entrepreneurs. Thank you, Trustee Scott.
And, okay, particularly when it comes to liberal arts, but not only when it comes to liberal arts, if you're making a better person, you might be making a person who is more versatile, a person who is more adaptive, you know, instead of, you know, spending 4 years teaching them a trade or a skill. And by the way, trades have been a big part of this conversation, not so much at UWF, but around the university system. There's been a big emphasis at the state college system and elsewhere for, you know, truck drivers, you know, all kinds of, you know, mechanics, airframe. I mean, the ST engineering stuff, but, you know, non-degree-based jobs, or at least, you know, career fields. That's a very important thing that we do. And, you know, those careers often pay much more than the kinds of careers that you can start with a university degree. Anyway, so, you know, yeah, we should look at a lot of these things. But also, you don't just want to look at it as what jobs are available because, you know, in the job field philosopher, there are not that many. You know, the corporate ethicist is a sweet gig if you can get it, maybe. But, you know, there are not a lot of great job opportunities for philosophers other than, you know, turning around and teaching philosophy. But if, let's say, the state of Illinois had decided, well, you know, we don't need more Andrews in the world, so we won't teach them. Well, I wouldn't have had my undergrad and graduate degrees. And let's be honest, I probably would have never become a talk show host, though that might thrill some local politicians. arguably the world would be worse without an Andrew McKay with a philosophy degree who doesn't go into philosophy but goes into, you know, talk radio, which is, you know, applied practical philosophy of a sort. Anyway, so a lot of conversation around what's a good degree, what's a bad degree. They are actually getting rid of a degree. The interdisciplinary sciences degree, the bachelor's, they're getting rid of it. There just aren't enough people in it. I think there's like six is what I remember them saying. And they're terminating that. The enrollees will be able to finish. But they've basically realized, this really isn't working. So which is good. You should be reviewing your programs all the time to see which ones you should invest in and grow and which ones really, you know, are already dying on the vine. And so let's go ahead and let them pass away. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are 64 turning 65 or you are retiring or, you know, you have questions about Medicare, call Ricky Stewart. She's a dear friend of mine. Love her. She's so smart, and she's just such a sweetheart. But give her a call and talk to her. Her family does insurance, and this is the one slice of it that she does. So you have questions about, you know, Advantage and prescription drugs and supplement and Medicaid and, you know, what plan and what's the right way. Okay. Call her. She'll talk to you about it. She walks listeners through this all the time. She's always sending me texts. Oh, we had somebody else call and we'll work with them and they're so happy. And, you know, just all of this stuff works out so well. So give her a call. She's great. You can look her up online at insuredbyricky.com or 341-2185. And by the way, she's available all year round, not just at open enrollment. So again, Ricky Stewart Insurance.
Here's today's strength for life. What does it mean to be more than conquerors? Romans 8:37 says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Notice the word in all these things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril, nakedness, and sword. Most of us feel like a conqueror before we get to the time of tribulation, not in those times. Or we feel like a conqueror after we get through a time of distress. Yet the text says in all these things. And the key phrase is through him that loved us. If you know the love of God through Jesus Christ, no circumstance of life can separate you from that love. Therefore, you can walk through this old world with a spiritual swagger and be fully persuaded that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
He's escaping, idiot!
Dispatch War Rocket Ajax to bring back his body.
You know, this gets a lot of attention for the cowbell, but and I don't even know the name of the instrument, but what's that, like, ratchety-sounding one? That rick, rick.
I'm not sure.
All right, cowbell. I don't know either. 726 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has got traffic on the fives.
Gulf Beach Highway seeing some congestion from Navy Boulevard to Eleanor Court. Also, U.S. 98 running heavy between Fairpoint Drive and Shoreline Drive in Gulf Breeze. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill will get a classified briefing today on the U.S. airstrikes on suspected Venezuelan drug boats. Navy Admiral Frank Bradley is expected to be grilled about the multiple strikes on the same boat incident from September 2nd. U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff is meeting with top Ukrainian officials today, and that meeting's happening in Miami. As their efforts continue to end Ukraine war with Russia, Witkoff's meeting with the head of Ukraine's National Security Council comes after a 5-hour meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow yesterday. And an armed safety volunteer that fired a deadly shot at a No Kings protest in Utah over the summer is now being charged with manslaughter. Salt Lake County, District Attorney Sam Gill says that Matthew Alder was reckless when he fired at a man in the crowd who he claimed was assembling an AR-15 rifle.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620, got a lot of texts about different subjects here. One, when talking about the state bird, and I'm right in the middle of almost having a post ready for Facebook that'll ask you the question of what the state bird should be. It's been the mockingbird. They want to make it the flamingo with the state songbird to be the scrub jay. Alex Andrade has responded that he thinks the pelican because there are no flamingos in the panhandle. But if you add the pelican as the state fishing bird, you know, you can kind of grab everybody. Lots of texts on what other people think that it ought to be. One person suggested that we put it on the ballot. I kind of like that idea. I remember when I was in the, third grade, I think this was Mrs. Cadott's class, Meadowbrook Elementary School. Memories. Anyway. And I think we had, it's in Illinois, and we as kids got to vote on what was going to be the state animal. And it was the white-tailed deer is what we voted on. you know, I like the idea of letting people vote on stuff, especially symbolic stuff, you know, because people can choose their own symbols. And, you know, I like the idea of, you know, you know how many people might actually turn out to vote just to vote for the state bird that would not vote for any other reason? Like, that might be the only thing they vote for. Now, I'm not sure that I love the idea of enticing people to participate in the process of democracy who would not otherwise but will for a bird. And again, more participation is more participation. So I kind of like the idea of a public referendum on the state bird. So anyway, you know, flamingo, pelican, mockingbird, scrub jay, whatever. Also, on the topic of UWF and degrees and, you know, which degrees are productive and is it a degree that makes, a human widget or is it a degree that makes a human human? And then what do you turn to with that? And somebody said, you know, Ed Fleming, for having a journalism degree, has done pretty well as a lawyer. And that's a good point, right? You know, journalism does have a certain level of training that applies to law. But, it's not obvious that when he was going through journalism as an undergraduate that he was going to become this big, successful lawyer. And so, you know, sometimes making a better human makes a better human and makes, a pretty successful lifestyle as well. It's a good point. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? I hate to be the bearer of quick bad news. I don't want to talk about this. There were two stories that I read yesterday that were both basically saying the same thing. One had to do with the Navy's Virginia-class submarine program, which is just failing. Like, it's supposed to be producing two subs a year, and it's producing 1.2 subs a year, way over cost, way over time. And then also the Navy's next-generation fighter, the F-A-X-X, because, you know, Air Force is building the F-47, but an Air Force-based plane is not necessarily designed for carrier landings and takeoffs. And now there's a question of whether the XX is even going to be designed. And so the question now is, what will the Navy even be flying in the next generation once the 18s and the 35s retire?
CJ Papa, a trip to Capitol Hill today for Admiral Mitch Bradley, who Secretary of War Pete Hegseth says ordered the second strike on a decimated alleged drug boat.
War Secretary Pete Hegseth says he saw the first strike live, but was not informed of the follow-on strike on this boat until hours later that killed the initial two survivors.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson in D.C. Admiral Bradley will be quizzed by some lawmakers who are uncomfortable with the second strike. The House will swear in Republican Congressman-elect Matt Van Epps today. He defeated Democratic State Rep. Upton Bain in Tuesday's special election in Nashville. A year ago today, United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson was assassinated by a masked gunman who prosecutors say is Luigi Mangione, day three of his suppression hearing in Lower Manhattan. His lawyers are trying to keep certain evidence out of his trial. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got cloudy skies, a little bit of rain reported across the area, and we'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That's on the way in just a few minutes. Well, the top women's soccer teams in the NAIA are competing for the national championship in Pensacola, but they're also making a bit of a difference off the field. Those athletes yesterday were partnering with Communities Caring at Christmas and working behind the scenes, packaging items for families in need. 80 players from 8 different teams packaged 110,000 pairs of underwear and other essentials. They worked so efficiently last year. Organizers asked them back again this year.
A good sense of community gives them a way to reach out and get involved and shows them the importance of all of that and hopefully inspires them to continue to do so after they're done playing soccer.
And that's event manager Adam Cooper. He talked to Channel 3. The items will be given out to families during the annual Fred Levin Way Fest. Asia Oriental Market in Brownsville is expanding. The popular Asian market got the green light from Escambia County this week to build a brand new store on Mobile Highway. The new building will be more than twice the size of their current market at about 10,000 square feet total. The store will occupy about 8,260 square feet with the rest dedicated to retail space for other businesses. Developers are still working out which other retailers could move in. The current market will be transformed into a warehouse once the new store opens. An auto repair shop nearby will be demolished to make room for the project. The old market building will be replaced in the same footprint, so customers can still access the plaza from either Mobile Highway or North Green Street. Well, a Florida Lotto player about $1 million richer this morning. A quick pick Powerball ticket sold in Apopka matched all five numbers to win a $1 million prize in last night's drawing. It was one of three winning $1 million tickets across the nation. Now, nobody hit the jackpot, so that prize will keep growing. Saturday's Powerball is now worth an estimated $820 million. The nation's largest apartment rental company will have to pay more than $23 million to settle federal deception charges. The FTC says Graystar misled renters by advertising low prices, then adding mandatory fees. The company does own two properties in the area, the Lyria apartment complex and the Covey Homes Jennings Place in Beulah. And officials say that this settlement highlights an even bigger problem of housing affordability across Northwest Florida. The FTC says Graystar had hundreds of millions in rental fees from customers since at least 2019. The settlement will require the company to refund any customers that were deceived. The annual Snowball Derby is back this weekend at Five Flags Speedway. 36 professional drivers from across the nation are competing in the largest short track race in America. The main 300-lap event is scheduled for Sunday. Speedway General Manager Tim Bryant says this race has grown a lot since it started back in 1968. At that point, it was a 100-lap Sunday race. The race week, although, has faced a few weather challenges as well. Rain forecasts for Friday forced the Speedway to reschedule that night's modified Mayhem race. That'll now be held on Monday. And if there's any other rain delays or changes, you can check those out on the Five Flags Speedway Facebook page. It's 7:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by Pensacola Little Theater. Get your tickets now for It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play, a holiday classic reimagined as a 1940s radio broadcast at the Pensacola Little Theater from December 12th through the 22nd. There is a structure fire at Pauline Street and County Road 297. Just use caution through that area. Also, Gulf Beach Highway, seeing some congestion from Navy Boulevard to about Eleanor. And US 98 running heavy between Fairpoint Drive and Shoreline Drive in Gulf Breeze. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We do have a wet day in store for you today with those showers starting this morning, lasting through the afternoon and in the evening. 100% chance of that rain with a high near 53 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying very mild in the 50s. Going into Friday, we will have clouds and those showers continuing. 90% chance of rain, high near 63. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 54. Keeping your rain chances high on Saturday, 80% chance of rain, high near 60 degrees. And by Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 45 degrees with cloudy skies, rain across the area. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Layoffs for the year have reached a record high. Challenger Gray and Christmas said layoff plans totaled more than 71,000 in November, a step down from the massive cuts announced in October. However, this figure brings the 2025 total up to nearly 1.2 million, which is the most since 2020 when the pandemic hit. President Trump has proposed big cuts to strict fuel economy standards for passenger cars enacted under the Biden administration. Former President Biden had required automakers to increase the fuel efficiency of passenger cars and light trucks to about 50 miles per gallon by 2031. Got a recall from Stellantis. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports the Chrysler parent company is recalling more than 72,000 Ram vehicles in the U.S. due to a software glitch in the instrument panel display that is causing it to go blank. Futures are currently mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 408, the NASDAQ up 40, the S&P 500 up 20. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Bailey's Produce and Nursery.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Hey, I'm Sandy Zern, marketing and digital consultant with ADX Communications. I want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Jeremy, the traffic director here at ADX Communications, and I wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And please get your copy in.
Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids!
Ho, ho, ho!
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for PPD, and he joins us now every Thursday. He joins us. But hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. High-profile cases. It seems like we've had a fairly quiet week. I know you and your officers always hate the Q word, but, you know, we'll take it, right? It's good.
Absolutely.
And just quick things I wanted to get out of the way before we get to the kind of the big story of the week involving PPD. The parade downtown next week, standard route as far as you know, or is there a route? You know, maybe I saw that the route has changed. I just don't know. Oh, that's the Mardi Gras route has been changed. Next week is the same though, right?
Yes, it's the same.
Okay. And the Mardi Gras route, you guys are all on board with that? That's going to be a little bit different coming up in the spring?
Yeah, I don't know that that's set. I believe they're heading that way. I haven't been told, to be honest with you, but we're going to welcome anything that makes things easier and the flow better and the crowds can get in and out easier. We're certainly for anything like that.
And, you know, obviously a different route is going to mean different security protocols, but we'll deal with that when the time comes. I did want to ask you, though, once the Reimagine Palafox starts, that will, I imagine, you tell me if I'm wrong, that will dramatically change how you guys do policing during the project on Palafox. Or am I totally wrong? I'm just wondering what you guys, I assume you've thought about this quite a bit, but how is that going to affect what you guys do? Because that's obviously lots of people. And if access is changed to no cars, then, you know, that, I assume that affects what you guys do.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to change anything as far as ordinances or laws go. It may obviously change traffic patterns, but that's one of those things. Once that project begins, we'll take a look at it a little bit closer and see if there's anything that we need to adapt to or change.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking about is, you know, how much will you be able to rely, you know, during the winter months, obviously, on, you know, cruiser-based policing as opposed to foot, you know, patrol-based policing? And it would seem, I mean, you can't patrol Palafox in a car after the construction starts. So that's kind of where I was thinking. But have you, you know, any thoughts about all that?
Yeah, we'll just adapt to that. Bicycles, foot patrols, which we already do down in that area. And it's just like any other, if we had a storm come through and we're not able to get through, we're going to still be there one way or the other. So once this project begins, then we will adapt to the area and there will still be plenty of police officers in that area.
And if we get another snowstorm, then obviously dog sleds and snowshoes and you guys will do whatever you need to do, right? So.
Okay, see, now that you had to throw that in there. Look, I don't have an answer for you there. Let's hope that doesn't happen. It was beautiful. It was different. But, yeah, we'll be down there slipping and sliding and trying to walk like everybody else.
The PPD sled fund is, let's say, underfilled. I joke, but yeah. So let's talk about the big story of the week. Obviously, it was the incident at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza last Friday. Officer Roper goes in, talks to Mike Kimbrell, who is there as part of Food Not Bombs, doing a feeding, which they've been doing for a long time. We now learn that apparently there was some kind of a verbal agreement about the use of the park that's not in the ordinance, that's not on paper, and so it makes it difficult for everybody, as the mayor has so clearly said. Officer Roper talks with him at length. Eventually, there's a disagreement about, you know, whether he has to show ID. There's been a misdemeanor, and so showing ID pursuant to a misdemeanor is justified. My take on this whole incident has been that If anybody's in the wrong, it was Mike, okay? And I think that at times he was a little bit too chirpy and aggressive and maybe was looking for a conflict. I also have said that I thought Roper didn't do anything wrong, but if I were to grade him, I'd grade him like a B+. I think it was very good. He was very patient. He was very diligent and slow and was not trying to arrest somebody. But what I thought was he could have gone even a little bit more patiently. He could have asked, do you have any kind of a permission? Do you know that if you don't produce ID pursuant to a misdemeanor, then I can arrest? You know, like, there were just a couple of opportunities where he could have done more. So I know you and I, because you and I talked off the air about this. What's your perspective on this incident?
Well, I would give him an A. He did exactly what he needed to do. He did his job very well. He was polite. He was patient. This could have been gone so much worse on the officer side, and we've all seen those type videos where the officers are overly aggressive, physically and or verbally. But there comes to a point where the officer knows, and we do this every day. We talk to people every day, and we understand people have different perspectives, and we have to take that into account. But there comes a point when we're talking to a person that we know that their heels are dug in, they're not going to budge, and we have to do our jobs. And we can't just stand there and just, you know, say pretty please and that sort of thing for 30 minutes. The officer was clearly familiar with the ordinance. He works down there. We have officers that work downtown all the time. That's what they do. They keep a closer eye on the parks now than they ever have before. And Officer Roper did his job, and he did it well.
You know, that's really interesting. I'm glad we disagree, because that always makes for good conversation. Hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood, the PIO for Pensacola Police Department. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a structure fire right at Pauline Street and County Road 297. Just use caution through that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mike Wood. By the way, I want to be clear about this. I totally agree with you that it could have gone much worse. On both sides, frankly. But, you know, and as you say, we've seen officers do it very, very much worse, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I thought he was actually very patient compared to with, you know, what he could have been. It was just, to me, like I said, it was a matter of, you know, could it have been a little bit better? Could it have been a little bit more questions asked and that kind of thing? But I deferred a little bit to your judgment about, you know, you're in this situation, your officers are in this situation all the time, and they know what's normal, and they can sense things about a situation that might be a little bit different than what, you know, a citizen like me watching it from the outside thinks. I did want to ask about, and just to clarify, producing ID, anytime there's a reasonable suspicion of a crime, a misdemeanor or a felony, then you must give your ID. Just being on the street, you do not have to give your ID unless there is some articulable suspicion of a crime, right?
That is correct. We can't just walk up to you for the heck of it and say, let me see your ID. That's unlawful. But when an officer is investigating a violation, then you must produce ID when requested. And it's, you know, it's people have to, you have to produce ID to get on an airplane. And for right. A lot of other reasons, it's no big deal. Obviously, this individual was going to be issued a warning and the officer was going to turn around and walk away. It's as simple as that. So, that's it. We do have to have a reason for asking for ID.
And just again, because I think all these are good opportunities to teach the public. It's different when you're in a car. The driver of a car is obligated to produce ID, period, to validate that they have a driver's license and insurance. The passenger does not. And right. I mean, that's right.
That's right, unless the passenger is involved in a potential crime. It
right.
depends on why the vehicle was stopped.
Right, very, very good. So just to kind of pursue this just a little bit, let's imagine that the situation was that different than what it is, okay? There was no actual misdemeanor or reasonable suspicion of a misdemeanor, but the officer had said, you know, hey, I need to see your ID in order so I can document this. In that circumstance, if Mike had said no, what should have happened?
I'm not following you. If he was just walking through the park, cutting across the park.
Yeah. Well, not even after dark. Like, just, I mean, here's why I ask. You and I have many times talked about the prudent thing to do in a situation with a cop is to comply. If the cop tells you to do something, do it. And I was making the point the other day that is true up to a point. And even though that is the prudent thing to do, that is not always correct. Like at your door, if the cop doesn't have a warrant, you can say no. You do not always have to comply if you are sure that, you know, you have the law, the rights on your side. And so, for example, what I'm thinking is if you're on the street and a police officer stops you and just says, give me your ID. Well, he's not justified in doing that. He does not have the law on his side. What should a citizen do at that point if the cop is demanding something unlawful?
they need to ask for a supervisor. Ask for a supervisor to come down and explain what the problem is. The officer will also explain what's going on to the supervisor and see where it goes from there. But most of the time, the officer is going to tell you why you are being stopped and what, you know, what the problem is and why he's asking for ID. That's not a, we don't mind doing that at all.
I think that's
what we're going to do.
You know, you'd ask for the manager at the drive at the fast food place. You can ask for a supervisor if the police officer you believe to be in the wrong about something. That's fantastic. I appreciate that. The other thing that came up in this, and this is why it's such a, and by the way, let's be clear, this has nothing to do with the fact that they were feeding the homeless. That is completely unrelated to anything that happened, right?
That's exactly right. That has nothing to do with it, and people are just giving us a hard time about that, and feeding of the hungry and the homeless or anyone else. It had absolutely nothing to do with why that stop was made.
Very good. The other thing that came up in this conversation was the issue of discretion, officer discretion about enforcing a misdemeanor. Now, the mayor has made a very good point that, you know, the police are there to enforce the law, and you don't want them thinking, well, what does the mayor like or what does the mayor not like? You want them enforcing the law. But they are allowed discretion on the enforcement of misdemeanors. Can you explain what that means and how that works in practice?
Yeah, first of all, let me clear something up. The mayor and city hall, or nobody directed that officer to go down there that night. That's something else that's been out there. That absolutely did not happen. But yes, discretion is always part of it, and discretion was used that night. The officer could have simply walked up there, saw the violation going on, and issued a citation, but he didn't. He used discretion. He was going to warn the folks that were in there feeding the folks that they were in violation of an ordinance, and he was going to turn around and leave. So he was using discretion. He decided not to do anything until there was pushback.
And so discretion is under enforcement of a law that you would have been justified to enforce because under the circumstances it doesn't make sense to fully enforce it, or it seems prudent to you to, just like somebody's caught speeding and you might write them a warning verbally or just written, as opposed to you could give them a ticket but you don't always. That's discretion too, right?
That is exactly discretion.
And in this case, like what he could have done is he could have trespassed every single one of the people that were there after dark, right, if he wanted to. In fact, he could have written a citation to every single one of the people that were there if he had wanted to, if that had been the intent.
Yes, he could have wrote citations to everyone there and shut it down, and that's not what he wanted. That's not what we wanted as a police department. We wanted to just say, hey, next time go get a permit and walk away. That's what we wanted.
And that was, by the way, one of the things I thought he did really well, as he said, hey, I'd like to just get this so it doesn't happen again next week, and so that we can either do it earlier or we can do it with a, you know, some kind of a permission slip of some sort, that would be the end state goal here. So, by the way, in talking to you, I'm moving my grade up. I still think there were a couple of opportunities to do better, but I'll give him an A minus. But that's because, you know, I'm slow to persuade.
We'll take it.
Oh, hey, you know, it's related. Obviously, there's been a lot of attention paid to Mike Kimbrell, and I consider him to be a good friend. He's been on the show many times, as you know. But, you know, how is Officer Roper doing? I mean, this is, it's never fun to be the subject of social controversy. You know, even if you are totally right, it's not fun. And, you know, so I don't, just how is he handling all it? You know, a lot of people talked about how the, you know, Food Not Bombs and how Mike and how the, you know, homeless people have been handling. How's he handling it?
He's fine. He was doing his job. You know, Andrew, we as police officers, we're the boots on the ground that have to confront people and have to, quote, be the bad guys and enforce laws that we did not make. We aren't there making laws and ordinances and things like that. The lawmakers do that, and they do it for a specific reason. But we are tasked with enforcing those laws. So we are the, quote, bad guys on the street having to do that, and we're going to take the brunt of the criticism. But I got to tell you, that's just another day at the office for police officers. Any of them anywhere will tell you that. You just have to brush it off. You know, and I've been cussed at many times, but I don't believe they were cussing Mike Wood as much as they were the uniform and the job that I have to do. So that's the mindset that we have, and Officer Roper is fine.
Great. I appreciate that. Oh, and by the way, if people think I'm being too, you know, demanding of the, I often grade myself not an A. I often think I could have done things better. There's, you know, always opportunity to improve. So I look at my own performance that same exact way. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, this is a myth, and it's related to our discussion here. And that's, we saw a lot of pushback online and people wanting to for the Pensacola Police Department to, quote, do the right thing and drop the charges. Well, we can't. That's not something we're able to do once we levy charges on a person. The only person or the only way that can be dropped is through the state attorney's office and through judges of the court system. So we could not do that if we wanted to. That's just something that's not that can't be done.
So even if internal review decides that a mistake was made, an overreaction, something that you guys were in the wrong, even if that's true, you guys are not capable of, like, legally, you guys are not capable of rescinding charges?
Right, and in this case, we weren't wrong, but in the case that you're describing, if we were, then we can consult with the state attorney's office and ask them, you know, and tell them, hey, we messed up here. We have no problem with those charges being dropped, but we can't simply do that on our own.
And again, just a technical question. Can you have arrested somebody and yet not have actually applied charges that would then not be able to be? Like, I just don't know the process. If somebody is taken into custody, that doesn't automatically mean charges given. Is that right?
Well, there's a difference between taken into custody, arrested, and detained. So sometimes we will detain people. Sometimes they are handcuffed for their safety and the officer's safety, but that does not mean they're under arrest. Once things get sorted out, people can be, the handcuffs be taken off and they can be released. That's not an arrest.
Excellent. Very good. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, you know, you and I have been friends a long time. I really appreciate you disagreeing with me this morning, especially because that brings more, I think, perspective to the entire story. So I really appreciate that. As always, sir, great information, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. PJ is in for John Pickens this morning with traffic on the 5.
Still dealing with that structure fire at Pauline Street and County Road 297. Just use caution through that area. Also, US 98 running heavy between Fairpoint Drive and Shoreline Drive in Gulf Breeze. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need to do any kind of work inside your home, air conditioning, heating, electrical, plumbing, you either have or want to get a generator and need to get it serviced, Peden, they take care of all of that stuff. Since 1969, air conditioning is what they started with, but then, you know, obviously heating is pretty tightly connected, and then plumbing and electrical, and, you know, then expanding territory from Panama City west, you know, all the way to Mobile last year. They've gone over the state line and into Baldwin County, Mobile, over the last 2 years, and, of course, all the way east to Tallahassee. So the entire panhandle is covered by Peden. And right now, one of the things that they're offering is a smart, safer home consultation for $89. Peden's smart home consultants with licensed professionals will come and design a custom plan that connects your comfort, your security, and your energy savings into a simple system. Start living smarter with Peden, PEADEN.com.
That's my timer letting me know that it's time to check the slow smoke barbecue at Sonny's. It's also a reminder that it's time to book your holiday party or catering. We love to serve your business or organization a delicious prime rib to celebrate all your hard work with catering from our 4 locations serving the greater Pensacola area. We also have banquet rooms at our Navy Boulevard and 9th Avenue location.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Beach Lighted Boat Parade and Fireworks is Friday evening, beginning at 6:30. Check it out from the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Wahoo's Winter Nights begin Friday evening and goes through the holidays at Wahoo's Stadium. The walkthrough holiday light display is open from 6 to 9, Friday through Sunday, and open every day beginning on the 19th. Enjoy the festive food, drinks, lights, and Santa. See visitpensacola.com. Submit your event at newsradio923.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Fräulein, were you this much trouble at the Abbey?
Oh, much more, sir.
So, you know, I'm always telling you about Christina Leavenworth and how she's so great and her team are so great at selling homes. And I've been telling you how, you know, in this market, it's really important to have a good realtor. And one of the things that they've experienced is people having multiple realtors try to sell their home and not succeed at it. And then they get the home sold. And like even one or two or five. Well, I was just talking to Christina this morning, literally. And she said, Andrew, it's even more than that. I just had a client where they had 7 different realtors before they came to us. Good Lord, can you imagine? You would be at your wit's end. 7 realtors. And they, you know, and then they bring their house to Christina, and she gets it sold. You know, no big deal. I mean, that's wild. Oh, also, I often talk about, you know, how many homes they've sold, and I say it's a 3 to 4 week. Well, 165 last year, but they're at 180 right now, going to be real close to 200 by the end of the year. So even though the market is rough and people are not selling homes, they are having a lot of success right now. So if you want to get your home sold, you want great advice, you just want a good team of professionals who can work even in a fairly challenging market, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 786-3996. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Steve Cropper has died at the age of 84. He was a guitarist and songwriter, helped to find the Memphis soul sound, played with Booker T and the MGs at Stax Records, and co-wrote Green Onions. He also co-wrote Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. He was recovering from a fall. He was at a facility in Nashville. The cause of death has not been announced.
Oh, by the way, the follow-up is the rattly kind of sound on the Blue Oyster Cult song, Fear the Reaper, is either a guiro, G-U-I-R-O, or a cog rattle. So I know it for now and will not know it in 5 minutes.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.